The Brookings Institution says Lawrence Tech provides one of the best college experiences in the nation. Find out why and meet with counselors to apply for on-site or online classes that start in January. Visit ltu.edu. Welcome to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Now, your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan.
Hey, it's Mike Brennan.
And it's Matt Rausch.
And we're back. We have with us, we have a little contingent, but I'm not supposed to identify the second person. She's just here observing. In case you're listening, Lisa, Angela Leon.
Leon.
Okay. Okay. Pronounce it right. She's going to be talking about one of the airfoils campaigns about the Consumer Electronics Show, which is Matt's favorite Las Vegas show, right?
I still miss going to that show every year. When I was doing the IT report for WWJ, they sent me to cover the Michigan companies at CES every year. And I got to go from, I think it was like 2004 to 2012.
Wow.
Inclusive. It was 8 or 9 years in a row.
A few people at those shows, right?
Oh, yeah. And it's it vies with one in Germany as the world's largest trade show from year to year. They got, the times I was going, it was between 110,000 and 140,000 people at this show, over 10,000 journalists, just a madhouse, but boy was it fun. And
got great swag too, right?
Well, the swag was okay. The main piece of advice I would have for anyone going, and Angela, I'm sure you'll agree with this,
yeah,
comfortable shoes.
Oh gosh, that's the first thing. Comfortable shoes and lots of granola bars.
Yeah,
I don't think that's on your list here. I'm looking at your list, but
it's in there.
Is it in there? All right. So let's talk about Airfoils, one of our sponsors, which I should mention here. And they have on my website an ad talking about, so if you're getting ready for Consumer Electronics Show, you're going to tell us all about what companies should do to get ready for that. Because like Matt said, it's, you know, how many days of madness? Three or four, right?
The official show, there's like 2.5 days of pre-show PR, you know, press activities, and then there's usually 3 days of the official show, I think. Yeah,
and they've extended it this year, actually. Okay. So there's 3 full days of press days, and then the show kind of takes you through the end of the week there. But so what Airfoil does is we are a public relations, marketing, communications agency. So we work with our clients, many of our Michigan-based clients that you were probably covering a few years ago, to make sure that when they are at CES, their messages, their products, their innovations are really breaking through, which is a challenge if you consider all of the glitz and chaos of Las Vegas. Couple that with the largest technology show in the world, which now it is back up in that number one spot again.
Okay.
So we really work with those clients to help them understand how they can really break through. And so this campaign that you're referring to here is really some of our expertise in helping clients do this over the past 15 years that we've been working with our clients to do this. In addition to some of our friends on the other side, like you folks, the reporters who cover it, to really hear from them, what do they want to understand? What do they want to hear and see? What's the best way to work with them at the show?
Well, you know, and what the CES has turned into is the Detroit Auto Show, which is the full name is North American International Auto Show, but only journalists know that name. Everybody else calls it the Detroit Auto Show. It's really the preview for the Detroit Auto Show because all these auto gadgets are auto this or auto that are dominating the show these days, isn't it?
Absolutely. We've seen in the last, I would say, 5 or 6 years, really the automotive contingency, both the OEMs based here in Detroit as well as a lot of the aftermarket and other kind of accessories divisions that are coming into that show. And really, we're starting to see them break news at CES, what was formerly known as the Consumer Electronics Show, and then leading them into the next week, which is the
auto show.
Yeah,
which is the next week. And
it's
then
a busy couple of
we
weeks.
We swing into action, right?
Right. So. Well, if you look at CES, the total amount of floor space in the Las Vegas Convention Center and auxiliary venues like Sands and the individual hotels and everything else in town, it's over 3 million square feet of stuff to go see, which is like five Cobos.
Yeah, I was going to say Cobos basically. About 70.
Yeah, it's like it's like five Kobos, and yeah. just the auto related stuff is about the same size as the Detroit Auto Show, as NAIAS, because you've got, you know, usually I don't know if all three of the Detroit three are going to be there this year, but then you've got the Japanese automakers and European automakers and major suppliers like Visteon. Visteon has a huge exhibit there, all about automotive interiors and car stereo, and that's kind of the heritage of CES, because it started out as a stereo show, and then they started adding car stereo stuff, and it just, you know, mushroomed from there. And then when the Comdex show went out of business, the computer industry show, it sort of subsumed that into it as well. So you've got everybody there.
Yeah, and many of our clients are obviously being here in Detroit are those Detroit-based clients. So Bosch, we helped them last year with their major press conference and their big booth, which is very automotive-focused, but also included some other things like Internet of Things and smart cities, which is intended to be another big focus of the show this year as well.
Okay, yeah. What are the focuses of the show this year? What are they?
Well, you've touched
really
on the
about?
Yeah, you've touched on the first one, which is really automotive. Automotive tech has been and will continue to be a key focus for CES. Yes, year after year. And what we're seeing now is really a move from the stereos, like you've talked about, and kind of the powertrain and all of the automotive stuff, and really into this theme of what we're seeing and calling more mobility. Mm-hmm. So that really includes kind of the connected car. And when you're talking about equipping vehicles with a connection to be able to connect with your mobile phone, your home, your internet, even the dealership to provide them with information, and other infrastructure as well, which leads to autonomy. And we've heard a lot about autonomy is another big topic for us as well.
Yeah, we're skeptical about that. I think it's going to be a few years out further than what we're being told by the more optimistic automakers. Yes.
Well, my theory is first the military, and you know, because if you want to send stuff through dangerous zones, you don't want anybody in the truck.
That's it.
And then commercial vehicles, I think, will be next.
You're already seeing that in Europe.
Yeah. Well, and there's a test zone on I-69 here in Michigan between Port Huron and Lapeer or something like that.
Army just tested about a month ago. Then.
Yeah, and you'll have a truck with one driver in it, and then like four more trucks behind it in a train, and all those trucks are automatically following the first truck at a really close distance. So you get that nice NASCAR drafting effect going there.
And Bob Lutz thinks that's the way cars are going to go. And so the exteriors will be irrelevant. It'll be how – it's like the train coach is how opulent can you make the train coach, you know?
Well, that'll be interesting
Bob,
to see.
What can we say about Bob? Not well, much, but moving right along. So what are some of the other tips? So we got them all worked up here. They're going, gosh – we got to work with Airfoil now. What else do you tell them out there if they're going to go to CES?
Well, you know, if from a media standpoint, when working with the media, and you guys correct me here if I'm wrong, but the biggest thing that we tell our clients is really to make the reporter's job as easy as possible.
Amen.
They have a big job to try and cover those 300,000. How many square feet did you just rattle off?
Oh, 3 million, close
and,
to?
And I think it's even growing beyond that. So they have a really big job to cover that much floor space, those many booths that are there, that many news that's continuing to break. And so making it as easy for them as possible to do. That means pre-briefing with them ahead of time and giving them an advance on the news so they have an idea of what to expect, making sure that they know where your booth is, that your press materials are readily available to them, and giving them the access that they need to be able to tell their stories.
And also, I would suggest checking the schedule for the major keynotes and stuff to make sure that your announcements aren't going to conflict with any of that stuff.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's fine to make announcements, but because there have been a couple of Michigan companies that have made some pretty major announcements there about stuff like wireless power and what's his name? The Livio radio guy.
Jake Siegel.
That's it. Sorry, Jake.
But he's probably not listening. So.
Yeah. Well, he's probably too busy, you know, making his
next
crazy
gazillion
invention.
Dollars.
Yeah.
Yes, right. You know.
Yeah. But he did some really neat announcements with Livio Radio while he was there, which was the first internet radio that was actually easy to use.
Mm-hmm. You
know? So I mean, it was, you know, so there have been some pretty neat advances by Michigan companies at this thing. But you don't want to conflict with the major stuff. My personal CES guru when I first started going there was Mike Wendland, the former tech writer at the Free Press. And he wore a pedometer 1 year at CES. The first year I went there, in 3 days he walked 33 miles.
I believe it.
But they do have this nifty computer program for journalists now at the CES website where you can just pick the companies you want to visit and it will get you the most efficient route. So that's handy for journalists.
It is handy.
I would imagine there's something equivalent to that for exhibitors, right? I mean, you know,
Something like that. But I think what most people don't take into account now is because it's so spread out, it's all over Las Vegas. It's not just the convention center. It's at the Sands. It's Aria. It's everywhere. And so, I mean, to get from point A to point B, especially if you have to go from a convention center to a hotel, you have to give yourself at least an hour and a half. There's no easy way around it. So building your schedule in advance and knowing where you need to go and giving yourself enough time to get there outside of the pedometer and comfortable shoes, you know, enlisting that that Uber or whatever else that is going to get you there is really important too.
Well, I just always used to park at the at Bally's and use the monorail to get
around
everywhere.
That's a great way. Yeah. That's a secret. Nobody knows about the monorail.
Okay. Yeah. There is a Vegas monorail. It runs behind the casinos and it's super easy to get around that way. And there are buses also. There's bus transportation for CES, but that can be a nightmare after a major event. So
yes, it can.
Yeah. You don't want to take the bus. You might as well walk.
So, Angela, let's talk a little bit about your insider tips for scoring media coverage. Just dig into that a little bit more here. So besides, what else do you need to do besides be
It says here you asked a group of writers and media people with 45 years of experience at CES what their tips were. What did they say?
So number one was make their job easier, which we have kind of already talked about here. Right. So that's number one. And that's kind of the genesis of a lot of these different tips. The other big thing is to your point, the timing. Know what's happening and when. One of the things that we always tell people is, you know, they want to get a lot of FaceTime because they're with the reporters in Las Vegas in the same time, the same space. It's a great idea, but in reality, it never really works out that well. So you really need to be judicious about when you're scheduling things outside of your booth, outside of the show floor hours, for example. A lot of people want to host dinners or parties. There are so many conflicting activities going on. So really, it's about, you know, picking and maximizing your investment. One of the great events that we always recommend is CES Unveiled, which is hosted by the CTA, the Consumer Technology Association, which is the producers of the CES show. And it happens during press days, typically the day before the big show floor opens. And it's when a lot of the exhibitors will come and showcase and launch their new products, make their big announcements from that very first side. So that's really the first time that a lot of journalists are getting a hands-on experience, even if they've gotten it in advance. This is the first time that they're getting that hands-on experience with the products. And we see a lot of the big news coming out of that very first day of the show. It also tends to set a lot of the trends as well. So there's always that breakout weird product that nobody saw coming. You know, I remember my very first year at the show at CES, it was the AR drone.
The AR drone.
And nobody saw that one coming. It came out of left field. And you know, that was a career highlight for me just to be a part of that. But that started at that CES Unveiled event, and it kind of set the tone for the rest of the week. So you start strong, and the coverage will follow.
Got about 2 minutes left.
All right. So tell me a little bit about your background. How did you happen to get into working with tech companies in this way?
Sure. Well, I started my PR career at Airfoil. Before that, I was working at some advertising agencies. But really, you know, at Airfoil, my background has been working across a number of different technology companies. So everywhere from consumer drones, like I just talked about, healthcare, and automotive tech companies. And so really working with them to develop their messaging, developing their strategy, bugging friendly reporters like you to cover our clients all of the time, and developing those relationships is really key.
All right. So this insider tips for scoring media coverage, I assume that's available online somewhere?
Yes, it is.
Well, why don't we tell people where that is?
If you go to airfoilgroup.com, you'll find a downloadable PDF with all of our 10 insider tips for CES, as well as a handy little contact us form. So if you want to learn more or engage with us, bounce some ideas off of us, get some help and some planning as you're preparing for 2018 CES. That's a great place to go.
All right, Angela, you may know this, you may not. I just had one final question. How much does it cost to exhibit at CES if your company is thinking about this?
Well, yeah, I was going to say, it's going to be big bucks, right?
Yeah.
It depends. And that's why we really recommend, you know, making sure you're maximizing your investment, because it does get expensive.
Yeah, I know. They have a smaller sort of startup area where you just get this little table.
And startup alley.
I guess you can get one of those for a few thousand dollars, but the booths are like really pricey. So
they are really pricey just to get in, and then it's a competition of keeping up with the Joneses once you get in there, just to outfit it and build it out to be able to compete.
Well, then not to mention airfare and hotels and food. And
boy, do they jack up the hotel rates for that week.
Sure.
I can tell you that. I remember turning in some of those expense reports.
Yeah. So.
That's what, you know, what reporters say about expense reports. It's our only chance we get to write fiction. But anyway.
All right. You got to take us out, man.
All right. Well, Angela Leon from Airfoil. Once again, that's airfoilgroup.com. And look for the insider tips for scoring media coverage at CES. For right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're listening to the M Squared TechCast, part of the PodcastDetroit.com network.
The Brookings Institution says Lawrence Tech provides one of the best college experiences in the nation. Find out why and meet with counselors to apply for on-site or online classes that start in January. Visit ltu.edu. Thanks for listening to M Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Join your hosts Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan next Monday at 3 p.m. If you can't listen live, audio podcasts of the show can be found at PodcastDetroit.com.